Lament is difficult because people may find it miserable or sad or downbeat or whatever. I used to remind myself, as a bishop, I would go around. I had about 250 parishes in the Diocese of Durham, and I would go around, because I had so many parishes, mostly I didn't know very many people in that parish. I would probably know the clergy, maybe one or two of the lay leaders, but most of the people I was preaching to, I wouldn't have a clue who they were. And I would remind myself often as I would be coming in to lead the service and praying for the Spirit to guide me, etc., that virtually everybody in this church is carrying sorrow of some sort.
Mm.
That there's a problem about a child, about a parent in their own life, some terrible disaster about to happen financially or business-wise or whatever. Everyone is carrying something, often quite a lot. And therefore we cannot be too bouncy and flippant, because otherwise that is the real disconnect. We therefore need to have wise ways of inhabiting the ancient lament tradition. Now, in my tradition, the church's year, you have the formality of a cycle with Lent and Advent as being times of rather dark reflection. And that's what it's like. Remember in the story of the little girl who Jesus heals, Talitha Kumi, Jairus' daughter. There are people playing flutes and people wailing in the house. Mm. Why? Because everybody knows that when there's been a death, the people closest to that person will want to weep and wail, so you create a context of weeping and wailing so that those who really need to do this can do it. And it's a much healthier way than how we do funerals, I'll tell you. Because it's saying, yeah, grief is a God-given reaction to the sorrows of the present, the way the world is. And not to allow for that is very cruel. I've had people say to me, oh, I can't go to my father's funeral because I know I'll only weep buckets. I've said, exactly, that's the whole point of the funeral. You will jolly well come. Because not to grieve is to deny the reality of love. So that then everyone is grieving about something in any worship service. And so there ought to be, sometimes and in some ways of holding on to that. Many of us come here with burdens and sorrows, and in this psalm, in this prayer, in this silence, in this, you know, one of the things I would do sometimes when I was a college chaplain was we had some musicians in college, and I would say, I want you to come, bring your violin, and just play us the slow movement from a Bach, something or other. And we would have a pause, and the violin would play, and I would say, this is a time just to use the music as a way in to wherever the particular pain or sorrow is at the moment. And then we'll just hold on to that in the presence of God, and I'll read this bit of a psalm or whatever. To give people the space to be real in the presence of God and of one another. And if it causes tears, then it causes tears, and there should be people around who can pray with people if they're in distress and so on. So, but ultimately, of course, yes, the psalms. In my tradition, it's five a day. It's like vegetables. You know, five a day keeps you healthy. it's the way to go. And out of those five, it's quite likely that one of them would be pretty miserable.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are the ones where you think, phew, I'm allowed to say this in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. If you don't read those psalms and sing those psalms, then you give people a sense that they're not allowed to say, hi, what's going on?
Yeah. Wow, that's good.